Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I get home, I'm watching The Passion of the Christ. It's not the only Jesus movie I've watched this week. My Holy Week is very cinematic. It began with a viewing of The Last Days in the Desert this weekend. And then on Tuesday, I watched Jesus Christ Superstar. And then spattered throughout the week in the evenings has been Ben-Hur, because it takes a long time to get through Ben-Hur. Tomorrow, I'll watch The Ten Commandments in honor of the Festival of the Passover. And then on Easter Sunday, I'll probably watch The Road, because it goes into detail about what happens after Jesus' resurrection and the birth of the church. I love movies. They portray so many amazing things, and we're able to digest it in a language of cinema that is so unique to its own meaning. It's a form of spectacle. There are two groups throughout history that really, really understood the art of spectacle. One of them is the church. The church, with its grandiose architecture and with its tradition of passion plays, which gave rise to Hollywood's obsession with Jesus movies, is a great harbinger of spectacle throughout history. The other group that really understood the spectacle was, of course, the Roman Empire. And what better example of the power of Rome's understanding of the art of spectacle than the crucifixion? Could there be a more gruesome, horrifying spectacle than that torturous form of execution? Up on a hill outside of the city, so that even those who weren't there could look out and see, high above the heads of the crowds assembled at the execution site, the victim would be nailed essentially to a man-made tree. Nails placed into the hands, elevated above the head, so that the lungs were stretched and the victim slowly suffocated to death. Oh, they could give themselves some relief if they wanted to. They just had to press up with their feet. But there was a nail through their feet as well, where all of the body's nerve endings cease. An excruciating pain would overwhelm the victim so that they fell back onto the weight of their hands and their lungs would stretch again, slowly choking them to death. This process took hours, maybe even days sometimes, so that there was ample opportunity for people to walk by the often naked victim and jeer at them and tell them what horrible people they were to have done the things that they did to get up there. The Romans knew that there was no better deterrent for crime than to show a spectacle of what could happen to you if you ever dared to break the emperor's divine laws. How horrible it must have been for Jesus' family and his friends, who knew that he had done nothing wrong, to stand there, some close by, some perhaps at a distance, hiding in crowds, hoping they too wouldn't get arrested and crucified. Watching this man that they had followed, that they had loved, hanging between two common criminals, who as part of the spectacle of their execution had the items that they had stolen hanging from their crosses. Once again, Rome's genius, don't do this, or this is what will happen to you. The spectacle of it all was horrendous and a very effective deterrent. So why do we as Christians revere and love the cross? Why do we wear it around our necks? Why do we have it placed in our most holy sanctuaries? Why are there crosses on almost every street corner, pinnacling churches and standing next to marquee boards? On every street in America and across the world, the cross, this hideous, horrifying symbol of spectacular torture and death, why is this our symbol? I think it's because there was one individual who understood spectacle better than anyone else throughout all the time. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He must have known, going 3 times each year to Jerusalem, as all Jewish males were required to do, he saw throughout the entirety of his life, over his shoulder, up on the Mount of Golgotha, criminals being hanged from trees, being nailed to crosses, as a spectacle for the Roman citizens to contemplate. Jesus' death is a somber event, mingled strangely with joy. Because if you'll notice, there are no crosses on our altar this evening. There is no symbol of torture and death. We have removed it. We have removed it. We have removed it because it has lost that symbolism. Jesus revoked the power of the cross as the Romans understood it by the power of his resurrection 3 days later. Jesus' death was horrific and left a profound impression on his family and his followers. But that impression was transformed, transfigured in the context of his resurrection. The thing that had caused Jesus' death was overthrown, toppled down by his rising into new life on the 3rd day. The spectacle of Good Friday, the spectacular death of Jesus, is as nothing before the power and joy of the resurrection. We are here not because Jesus died. We are here because Jesus lives. And since Jesus lives, the symbol of Roman power and oppression, the symbol of torture and death, has no spectacular power in our lives. We have turned it on its head. We have spun it around and shine its glorious light in the faces of oppressors. We do, as George did, the opposite. We hold up the cross and say, this cannot keep us down. Jesus overcame it. Imperialist power and oppression cannot stand in the face of the radical love and profound truth of Jesus' ongoing life as he lives through us, his followers today. We cannot be held down by a symbol of oppression. We turn it on its head. We transform it by the power of Jesus' transforming love. So profound was this change in people's apprehension of what the cross meant, that by the time Peter, Jesus' follower, who had denied ever knowing him 3 times before the dawn of the day of Jesus' execution, Peter, who had denied him when it came time for his execution at the hands of the Roman oppressors, said, No. I refuse to be killed in the same way as my Lord and Savior. You cannot use that symbol of oppression against me. Crucify me upside down. Peter's death at the hands of the Romans happened upside down. Peter knew and understood the power of what Jesus had done in his crucifixion. He had upended the spectacle. He had transformed the message. He had turned his life into a good reason for Peter to meet with joy the end of his own. So what of us? Is it enough that we carry around our necks or in our pockets little symbols of Jesus' victory over death? Or are we too called to become part of the spectacle of Christianity? Should not we turn our lives, which are symbols of Christ's love, around and show radical love to those who would seek to oppress us, who would seek to wrong us, who would seek to harm us? Should we not instead turn the other cheek, as he taught us? Should we not instead be prepared to meet hatred with love, sorrow with joy, oppression with liberation? Should not we become the spectacle